It's crazy to think that, like, back in March, when obviously because I work at a news station, it's all newsy. Yeah. The idea was that this was supposed to be a 2-week, like, stay at home thing.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be where we're at now, and going into December, the end of the year. So it's insane, man. I'm still there, just kind of doing my thing.
Nice.
Obviously, the podcast is still going on, West Box Score. That's been fun, you know, doing sports, kind of getting out of, you know, talking about it and whatnot. So that's always been fun to just kind of like watch the games and then have something to say after the fact. So, you know, that's been cool. That's been a cool little, like, just kind of like outside exercise that has been great. It's been doing well. But yeah, that's kind of how it's been for me so far. Musically, man, the last time we spoke, I was talking about doing the Instagram post with the thing, and that's what I did. And it's crazy that I put that out, and it was pretty cool. Like, people were like really digging it. They're like, "Oh wow, like that! I like this beat. I like this beat." And it's funny because I want to say I put up everything that I had already worked on, which is like around 30 beats, but I sometimes dabble about whether I want to keep doing that again. I think the tough part, like we said last time we spoke, was just, you know, the getting everything together and making it right and perfect for all the platforms that you're doing it on. So, like, if you're doing it on Instagram, like, you know, you got the post version and then you got to do the story version, you know, and now freaking Twitter now has fleets. So now you have to do,
man,
you know what I mean? Facebook does stories as well, so it's crazy, man.
It's a lot to do. It's a second full-time job to stay posting on social media, and it's very hard. A lot of people don't look at it that way because the norm, just look at it as a place to share, you know, your daily photos or whatever. But
yeah,
when you're trying to make a business or a brand out of it, it's man, it's a full-time job.
Yeah, man, that's what I'm, you know, obviously I'm learning that as I go along. It's just, it's insane, man. And I give props to people that can actually do it more efficiently. That's why I think it's interesting seeing like sports team being able to post so fast on things like, oh, this guy's now a Dodger. And it's just like, oh, dang, you see it right away. Like, welcome to LA. And then they do the post and it's like the guy with the jersey on and all that, you know.
Man, they got a whole squad, though. That's what I tripped out on that, too, because I was like, bro, who manages this stuff? Because it's got to go. It happens so fast.
Yeah.
These guys got to have an editor, someone to approve it, then someone to post it, write it. Like, man, it's insane.
I know, man. I wonder.
Big respect to that.
Do you know how much like that would pay to be like a social media graphic guy? Because I'm assuming the graphic guy is different than the guy that manages the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure just for editing, you're probably looking at like probably 50K a year.
Dang.
Because I'm pretty sure they're including all the travel and all the other good stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure if you're the social media, for sure anywhere between 80 to 110, 120.
Oh, shoot. Dang.
Yeah, because that's a lot. You got to take a lot, man.
Yeah.
That one you take on everything. So responding, posting, like, it's that one's for sure probably one of the most hectic jobs to have.
Dang, I can imagine, dude. I knew someone that was doing social media managing back when it wasn't where it's at now.
Yeah.
And I think it was definitely one of those things where, like, if you were able to build up, like, if you knew how to work the game, which is the whole, like, can you prove to get, you know, 10,000 followers in a certain amount of time, then obviously you were given the job. And I wonder now how that plays out. Like, if it's still the same requirement, or is it like, has it gone up? I feel like it's gone up.
I'm pretty sure it's gone up. It's funny you say that. I was listening to a YouTube video today on Peter McKinnon on his YouTube video about how to grow your Instagram this year, because we all have been home.
Yeah.
That was one of the big things he talked about. You know, like, we're so impatient now with these accounts that we want to post something and get like a million likes right away, or like we want to go viral because we see it so happening. So, like, I guess constant, like every other week we got something new that's coming on. Like right now it's that, what's that thing that ended up in Utah? That little, that silver pole.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I saw,
I forgot what they called it.
Yeah, I didn't read up on it, but I kind of saw it, because then it started, someone posted something else that was similar in a different part of the world, like Romani or something. So then I'm like, okay, is this like a thing, like a gag or something, some sort of viral thing that's supposed to happen?
Yep, it went viral, man. Today, my brother showed me Call of Duty, put it on in the video game. They put it up. A few people, I don't know who did one here in LA at Griffith Observatory. They did one, and people just putting things now in the dirt just to try to. So it became a viral thing. And like I told my brother, it's insane to see how like these little things can become so big just because, you know, it hits, man, on the internet. And it booms.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, man.
Hey, man. Whatever works. Again, it goes so fast. It's a few weeks and then the next thing happens. So
that's true, dude. I mean, look at the dude with the cranberry juice and Fleetwood Mac. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
Bro.
Dogface. Shout out to Dogface, man.
Bro, yeah. Shout out to Dogface. Bro, me and my cousin's been riding our one wheels and like trying to find a trending thing to do. And we've always talked about going, trying to get like sponsored by I'll say it now. I don't want to. Hopefully, no one takes it from me, but we want because we love Simply Made Lemonade.
Oh, okay.
Like addicted, man. Like that shit don't last 24 hours.
It's good, man.
Bro, it's so good. So we've always like, bro, we need something to like really give, you know, kind of find a way for them to reach out to us. So when we saw that and how he got sponsored
by
I told my cousin, like, bro, you've been riding your board for years, bro. Why didn't you come up with this idea?
I know, bro.
But again, it was just something that it was the vibe that he posted. Like when I first saw it, I didn't understand like why I was getting like why I had so many views. I had to watch it a few times to understand. Like when I ride my wheel or when I ride around just to kind of relax, to kind of get that exact imagery that he put on that video, is that relaxation, that calm and just soothing. It's like bro, that beat and everything just matched the whole vibe. So I was like, bro, that's how I feel when I ride my board. I was like, so I understand now. Why it hit so hard. But yeah, man, I mean, congratulations to him, dude, making money, making moves. That's amazing.
Yeah, man. He's one of those guys that my cousin sent me that video, the one that owns the studio right now where I'm at. Mm. And it was like funny because he's like, wait till the end. And I was like, okay. Yeah. So I watch it. And of course, it's funny because at the end, he sings the song, which is the part that everyone flips out on, that this like cholo looking dude is like singing the Fleetwood Mac, like Stevie Nicks' lines and everything. So I thought it was funny. But yeah, man, I think it's interesting seeing his success because he seems like the dude. I read his bio on the LA Times. They did a write-up on him, like on, the whole viral sensation that he was. And it was really cool to see that he's very, like, he is who he is. And he talked about, like, you know, that he just loves doing those videos, man, that he's like a TikTok guy, that's his thing. And that, like, he works as a potato at a potato factory in Idaho, and that he just kind of lives like this simple life. And even though he's getting like these endorsements now, right, like Ocean Spray, he did a commercial with Snoop recently. And I know he was featured, I think, with Wiz Khalifa on a music video, I think. Yeah. But it's cool that he's just kind of like doing it and he's just like having fun, but he's not trying to like be like super celebrity about it. Like he's not trying to take that like, the Kardashian route where he's like exploiting himself. He's more like, it fits what I like to do. So let's just go ahead and roll with it. And he kind of just seems like he's kind of low profile, but like still like, you know, in a very viral world, like how to be low profile and all that. I think it's good to see that, man.
Yeah, and I love the fact that I took it as a marketing idea, and I really respect that, even though it might have just been genuine, but I took it as a really dope marketing idea to, when he first went so viral that he mentioned Gary Vee, like, oh, that was my motivation. He, you know, just told me to keep posting. And as soon as Gary got a hold of it, since it was a viral thing, Gary posted it, which made him more viral.
Yeah.
So like I said, it was like a good link to have, like, and a good idea to use. And I mean, hey, as a marketing, like, at least thinker in my head, I'm like, bro, that's the smartest way to keep your name buzzing is to grab one of the most popular guys on social media with your trending video right now and make it happen. So big respect to that and the way he's moving. And like you said, yeah, that's cool, man. He's genuine. I haven't seen him really like change up his whole mood because he got the cash or, you know, he's getting the celebrity love that he's getting.
Yeah, man, I mean, it's really cool.
Got the Cheech and Chong shout out, bro. That's amazing. That's right.
He was on the game. He kind of and it's funny because he does the plugs, you know, and it's so cool to see because it seems like someone who's like, you probably could give him like an ad read, and he probably will just do it, and he'll do it his own way, and it just sounds so natural. But yeah. That was really cool, the Cheech and Chong feature on the video game. I did see the video that after he blew up where he said, oh, wow, thank you guys, we did it. Like, I've been doing these videos and I want it. Finally, it hit. So that was cool to see. So I was like, oh, okay. But it's good to see that, like, you know, obviously, even though he has a day job and he does all this stuff, like, he still has goals in life. And I think one of his goals is I want one of my dance videos to take off. And it happened. So that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And again, that's a major respect coming from someone that just, you know, having fun with their... Well, what they do with their hobbies, man. You know, like you said, the simple life. He just rides, dances, and bro, it worked for him. So, I mean, big congrats. A lot of people hated on him at first. I saw the hate too, and I was like, man, it comes with success, so
yeah.
You need the hate. And I was like, man, I was happy for him, man.
For real.
And anyone that deserves that shot and they get it, that's an amazing thing, man. So
yeah, me too, man. Especially if you're Latino too, dude, you know.
For real.
Can't be bringing ourselves down, you know.
Yeah. It's always that, man. That's the shitty part. We always come down on each other like that. So,
yeah.
That was me and my cousin at first because my cousin were like, oh, bro, that was like our idea. At first, we were kind of like shady about it because we're like, bro, why didn't we like. But at the end of the day, we sat down, we looked at it like, bro, he did it right. You know, we weren't doing things like that. No, again, congrats to him, man.
That was dope, man. That was really cool to see, dude. It's interesting seeing that, like, Joe Budden now, it doesn't seem like anything really changed post Spotify. I think his audience is still there. I think if anything, he built a network now, right? I think I saw that. And that's good for him. You know what I mean? I think for the most part, he's kind of where he's at. Like, I think that's good that he's there. Seems like Spotify, you know, is cool with, you know, the whole move too. Cause you know, now they got Rogan and looks like they're moving on with their projects and stuff. I saw that The Ringer, when they bought it, now all of a sudden The Ringer has a bunch of quote-unquote Spotify originals out there. And they got the Michelle Obama podcast, which I think was a big get for them. You know?
Yeah, when I saw that, I wanted to text you about that, but I figured we'd talk about it sometime. But yeah, when I saw that, I was like, bro, that's going to boom, like instant. I was like, that's amazing that they even got that on hand. So those are big names, man. So.
Yeah, I know I know some of the people that work on the Michelle Obama podcast. They used to work at my station where I'm at. And they left. And then out of nowhere, we just saw the tweet of like, hey, this is what we've been working on. We haven't said anything. Dang. And I'm like, what the heck? You're with the first lady? The first lady, that's like awesome. Former first lady of the United States. That's huge, dude. But it's really cool, like seeing like people go out and kind of like build the connections and all that. And I think the story was that like, they built a small like production podcast company and they knew someone that linked them to the Obamas because the Obamas now have their own media production company called, I think, Higher Ground, I think it's called. So
nice.
They basically were able to link up via third party and then they're the ones that landed, you know, like saying like you landed the contract with them. And I thought that was very cool to see that. I thought I was like so cool to see like, dang, like I was working with these people. Like I remember being in the studio with them and now they're out there, you know, hanging out with the Obamas. That's crazy.
Man, that's big.
You know, and I think for Spotify, I think it was more like, thank you, Joe Budden. But like now we got bigger names. So,
yeah, you know what I mean? For real.
Good luck. And I think it's good for Joe Budden too, you know?
Yeah, I think, I mean, for him to have them as a big anchor is really dope because he gets to expand his wings a little more and watching like how he's been doing his video interviews and taking those extra steps to really like make it his own.
Yeah.
I feel like looks really good. So, I mean, that's from the beginning when he started this whole thing, I figured that's what he really wanted to do is kind of have his own place to really just express himself, which is dope. I mean, again, it's something that a lot of people do like. Again, I feel like he's a big reflection of Charlemagne the God, that blunt, like real kind of like forward about any of his opinions. I think people really enjoy that. Yeah. So that I think that's dope. And he ran with that and was able to at least like, you know, make it his own.
Yeah. I noticed that. Like even his show feels a little bit different from the YouTube clips I've seen. Cause like obviously every podcast now does clips. I noticed that the energy is a little different. And I could tell like he probably feels a little bit more at ease because now he's in control of it. And like you said, Charlemagne the God is like, I guess like the other person you can compare him to because they have that same mentality of being very blunt, very like no filter. Even though I know I saw that one video where he criticized Charlemagne because Charlemagne now has his own podcast network with iHeartMedia. I think it's called the Black Effect, Podcast Network. And it's basically like it kind of similar to like the BET, you know, podcast, where it's black voices and a lot of black shows. And I think they got the one that was with Showtime, up all in all the smoke, with Matt Barnes and Stacks, and they got them on their network, which I think is cool. And I guess the Breakfast Club is part of the network, even though what they're doing, they're just repurposing the Breakfast Club show again. So for podcast listening, and I know Budden was kind of getting at Charlamagne for that, because he was like, "You don't really own that network. Like, you needed iHeart's help to get it, and I own everything I do." And I mean, obviously, this is just Budden's way of trying to like let people know, like, I am not like Charlamagne the God, even though everyone compares me to him, you know.
Yeah, I think it's more though of his personality that I feel it reflects a lot of, and I saw that from the get go though, back when he was with Complex doing that. I was like, kind of doing like a mirror image and a more aggressive version, because I mean, you were in the game, so I feel you have a higher stance and your opinion means a little more to say the things he was saying. So I took it a little more to heart. Like, yeah, this guy has been in the game. He knows the game. You know, he's been around all these artists, so he has more of the right to state these opinions. And I've always felt that, even with Charlamagne being a radio head, but I mean, you're involved, but you're not really like there, you know? So for an artist to really put their feet in and get that part wet, I felt like, and you know, tamper with that water a little bit was cool to see. And again, man, his stuff's good. I feel his opinion sometimes when he overblows it. I'm like, bro, it gets old for me, because I'm like, all right, we know it's coming. We just got to wait for what time of the show he's going to blow up.
Yeah.
Which is dope. But nah, I mean, again, it's dope that he anchored down with them, and he definitely did change. Again, like you said, the energy did move a little more to, I want to say, more in control of the show. It looks like he's more relaxed.
Yeah. I noticed that. I think
that's dope.
I noticed that too, that he just seems like someone who's not feeling like that kind of angst he was feeling towards the end of the Spotify deal, where he was kind of just like, oh, I kind of want this contract to be done with. I don't want to be repped by this company anymore. And then he went off on that rant that he did and all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like now that the water's settled, he's doing his thing. I think his show sounds a little bit better now. And I think Spotify's kind of moved on too. I feel like in a way it was good for both of them, even though I know he was bothered because of the probably the money part mostly, you know, because you see them give, you know.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm referencing that to the Dave Chappelle situation with Netflix.
Yeah.
I was gonna say kind of like that at ease, you know, like that ranting about HBO doing what they did to him.
Yeah.
Like not giving him his respect, but Netflix came around, was like, hey, we, you know, we're friends, you know, let's keep it cool.
That was,
I kind of feel like that's kind of the same story behind Budden and Spotify, you know, like they had a conversation, you know, they wrote him the check, like, look, let's make you feel at ease. Let's give you what you need, you know, your freedom and, you know, let's cut the bull. You bring us a lot of attention. Like, we like it. We need it. So,
No, that's
all in
good.
All, man, business is business, but you also got to have a good friendship behind that business so it can flourish better.
It was a good stepping stone for Spotify, who's definitely like now getting really aggressive with podcasting. Like, they look like they want to take out Apple. I don't know if you saw or if you got in your Spotify Wrapped in 2020, like where it looks back at everything that you've played and it tries to highlight it for you.
I think we had that conversation last time. Since I rarely use my Spotify, they probably not give me.
Oh, that's right. You told me that you're Apple Music. That's right.
Apple Music guy. Damn, sorry, Spotify.
Yeah, so they tell you like who's the most you've listened to. They even put it up a podcast chart for you. Like, these are the most podcasts you've listened to. It's funny because it put Joe Rogan as number two for me, even though I've only listened to like two episodes. And it's only because I wanted to listen to the Kanye West episode. And that was like my first time ever listening to Joe Rogan, like from start to finish. Like, other than that, I've only watched some on YouTube. But my friend Alex, my co-host, he told me like, yo, like he drops the link and then it's like, oh shoot, that's right, Kanye said he was gonna be on it, but I didn't believe it. And then it came out, and then I was like, oh, this is gonna be the first time I'm gonna listen to Joe Rogan like full through, right? And I found out that he does like 7 minutes worth of advertisement in the beginning of the show. And then he does a conversation after the fact. But yeah, the Kanye one was pretty funny. I thought it was pretty cool. Like, I think me being a Christian, I understand a lot of stuff he's saying. Like, I totally get where he's coming from. But I could see people that don't go to church or never were in that Christian culture. Like, I could see how it can go over your head, or you kind of think he's a little off. To me, I'm used to that kind of language. Like, the stuff that he says, all that language, I'm used to it. You know, the whole, like, God called me. I'm just doing what God said, you know. And I totally understand that. But, I mean, overall, I think the misconception is, like, dude, sometimes you can be a little too much, you know?
Yeah. Well, that comes with his status of being an icon, you know? He wasn't talking about that before. So when you see people change like that, the fans, the critics, they take it and they say whatever they can to make you look weird.
Yeah.
And it goes to, like, what most big artists do now. Like, you know, when, like M's latest album, when he said, you know, they want me to be old Slim Shady, but then they say I'm too old to be that guy, but they don't like when I'm older me because I'm not being who I was when I first started. Like, there's no perfect, we can't find the perfect pick for us because what we expect out of them, and they can't even be themselves. So when we do see different things or odd things like that, that to a lot of other people, it's a norm. And like you said, like, to you, you're used to it, versus to another person, it's like, oh, that guy's crazy. What's he talking about? Like, you're like, nah, man. And funny you say that, because, yeah, a few of my friends that, like, really deep into, like, the Christian religion, I do remember them being real hard on that and stuff. And I was always, like, a little weird off about it. Like, all right, like, okay, like, cool. Yeah. That's your energy. That's dope. But, you know, and you do think that at first, if you never encountered any encounter with something like that, you're kind of like, oh, dude, a little nuts.
Yeah, no,
anytime
exactly.
You hear anyone talk like that, so.
No, exactly. Yeah, I understand. I'm in the minority that actually like the gospel album that he put out.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, it's a gospel album. You know what I mean? It's not a rap album, which I get. That's what people were complaining. They wanted another Kanye rap album, but he didn't do that. Yeah. I was also expecting a Kanye rap album, but he didn't do that. And yeah, I like the Sunday service.
College dropout.
Yeah, people want that old Kanye. The Kanye, I guess he calls it.
Yeah, the Kanye.
They call me Kanye.
That ain't coming, man. It's past time, man. Just you grow, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. I totally get what he's trying to do. I just think that it just, you know, it's like what Rogan said. It's like you just, you know, your train of thought is just it's just different. And I think it doesn't flow with the normal things that we see here. So maybe that's what, it rubs people the wrong way. And that's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the only one. The other one that I listened to from Rogan was the Alex Jones one. And that's just because I was really curious, because there was that whole controversy of Spotify employees not wanting to, like, the Spotify employees, like, didn't put the more right-wing episodes when they transitioned over to Spotify, the Joe Rogan show.
Oh.
So they, like, took out the Alex Jones episode and, like, a couple other right-wing people, like, that were, like, you know, extreme right-wing. So I was, like, curious, because he was, like, he brought Alex Jones on. So I was, like, oh, I want to hear this. And, yeah, it is, like, funny. Well, to me, it's funny. It's, like, Alex Jones just going off on all his stuff. That's, like, it's ridiculous, but, like, in a weird way, it's entertaining. Like for me, it's entertaining. Like, I see that as entertainment, but I do get that it rubs people the wrong way. Like super liberal types that, like, really just can't stand people like that. I just think it's... But to me, it's just funny. It's like, this guy's a character, you know? But I totally get why, you know, Spotify employees got bothered. Because it almost comes off like misinformation, all the stuff that he says and all that, you know? He said some really wild stuff. I forgot what it was, but a lot of that was wild about, you know, a bunch of stuff. It was crazy. But those were the only two. And somehow Spotify was like, yo, that's your number two podcast. I'm like, what? No. Like, I've listened to, like, more episodes of, like, Simmons and stuff. I don't know what you guys want, but I get it's Spotify. They probably want to put their people up there.
Yeah, I was going to say that, because it's probably one of the most popular. It just fits that genre to put it on top when you listen to it a few times or once or twice.
Yeah.
It's the most popular, so we'll put it up there.
Yeah.
I saw your post on that. I thought that was cool. A lot of my friends were posting all that, and I thought that was really dope to see, like, that it breaks down, like, the individuals, you know, 1 through 5 or 1 through how many likes, how many or listens that you put through. Like, I think that's really dope, because it connects the user with the platform.
Yeah.
Even though it's just a listening platform, I think that's really cool that it's expanding to that. So you can throw it out and put it on social media and share it with everyone. I think that's really dope. And probably the best way to to keep everyone connected, because then it starts conversations like this one where we start talking about, well, why is that on your top five? Like, who is that, you know? Or
yeah,
give people the curiosity, like, why, let me go listen to these five artists that I've never seen before, you know? So I think that's really dope and amazing way to,
yeah,
to push out all those music and podcasts. Basically free advertisement for them.
Yeah, so I got to wait on yours, Rap 2020.
Yeah, man.
They'll Rap be like, you haven't listened to us enough.
It's going to be like, one song,
yeah.
Back, it'd probably be like an old Kendrick track that I listened to way back when I had it.
Yeah, Sing About Me.
Yeah, man. I laugh if it is too, because I mean, I rarely use it. It's occasionally I'll throw it on just for shuffle. But man, Apple Music is great to me, so I can't hate on it.
Yeah,
Apple will probably do the same thing though. Watch, it's a battle of the bands, man.
I mean, I'm still a little bothered that Apple like doesn't let you share on Instagram for stories the way Spotify does.
Like, yeah, dude. And I saw you did that with the pod. I was like, bro, how do you do that? So yeah. I went on my Spotify. I was like, bro, what? Like, that's dope.
Yeah. And they let you do it on anything, like music, podcasts. And I'm like, well, yeah, like I kind of want to share some of this music too. Yeah. Obviously, because I want people to know what I'm listening to. But at the same time, like some of the stuff that I listen to are like people that like I encounter online that like I end up befriending, yeah, that are maybe, you know, like rappers and stuff, and this is their album and they're like indie, and I'm just, yeah, like, okay, I'll share this, you know, I like the album, let me share it and stuff. So it's cool that there's a feature.
Yeah, I like that better than just adding the song through Instagram to a post. Like I like screenshot. That idea better. Yeah, adding like the actual link so they could go click and go listen to it and get those views and plays up.
Yeah, man. And the thing is that like to me, like, from the podcast side, like Apple's still the place people listen to podcasts to the most. I get that Spotify wants to do their thing in terms of like trying to beat them out. But like, dude, like everybody's so accustomed to Apple podcasts, bro. Like you shoot someone the Apple podcast link, most likely they'll click it. You shoot them like the Spotify, it's this whole like, oh, okay, I forgot my login to Spotify or whatever, you know, at least that's what I've seen. And then now Google does their own podcast, like a hosting thing.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is pretty cool. Because if you have like your Google account, like your Gmail account, you just subscribe to anything and it just is already like linked to it. So you could do it from like your desktop and then you can download the app and the app will just shoot up all the ones you've already subscribed to because it's linked to your Gmail like account, your Google account. So it goes by that. So I thought that was cool. But I think like Google, obviously, I think they're a little behind. Like, I don't know. I can't see them competing at all. I think it's just it's just you're an Android user.
Yeah, it's like they always follow like late, but they just jump in the mix just to do it.
Yeah.
Like, we're here too. Don't forget about us.
Yeah.
But it's cool. Now, I was going to say, I think my anchor today showed me that, you know, go look at where your shows have listed on the Spotify thing. And I was like, oh, that's dope. Like, it kind of gave me a little reminder.
Oh, that's cool.
I clicked on it. Yeah, and I accidentally messed up because I was trying to edit the show I had put up, the one you sent me, the one we did last time.
Oh, yeah.
And I trimmed it, and I didn't know you couldn't untrim, so I messed up the whole damn, I got to re-upload it again. I was mad. I was like, I was trying to split it, so I was like, maybe if I just zoom in and like put a start and finish here, then it'll crop, but I had never used that before on Anchor, and I cropped it, and it was just like a little like hiss, and I was like, what the hell?
Oh, like, dang. Oh.
So I was like, I was trying to figure out how to use it to split so we could put like the advertisements and all that in there.
Oh, okay. So like, yeah.
It was showing me like, oh, don't forget to add these. I was like, I should try it just to see how ads work because I've never done it with Anchor before, but
yeah,
wanted to give it a whirl, but messed it up. So I'll probably repost that one again and this one back to back so we could get some love on both.
Yeah, let's do that, dude. Yeah. I forgot what that was called. There's a name for that. The whole where they insert the ad.
Yeah, it was on the, I was just looking at it because I clicked on it and I saw, I forgot the name of it too. Yeah, it was earlier today.
Yeah, I forgot what it was called, but there's a name for it because that's going to be like the future. That's going to be like the future for advertisement, dude. Like, what's that company? Oh, shoot. There's a company that bought another company that does that ad style of like just inserting it in podcasts, especially old podcasts that didn't have ad reads. Because that's the idea. Is that like if you get sponsors now, obviously you would read the sponsors and then you kind of built your show around it. But, you know, there was a time where you didn't have sponsors and this company lets you insert those ads so that like that you can generate, you know, some sort of monetary thing on your old you know, shows that didn't have it, which is the whole idea of it. And I think, like, I know Anchor is like, that's their thing. The way they see it is like, well, we want you to make some money. So, you know, just select some areas where we could put the show in or put the ad in and stuff. I've heard podcasts though, where they just cut you mid sentence and it goes, and I'm just like, oh, that sounds bad. So I don't think the person did it right, or the company just threw it in wherever they felt was good.
I was going to say, I think it's more of the podcast performers that do the edits. I think they just forget to like do a pause. Like right now, if we were to stop, like, all right, we're going to go to a quick commercial break and just kind of give it a little pause so that cut can come in. I think they're just talking and they forget to do. And then they're like, shoot, where do we put this ad in? Because we need to get paid. So they'll just randomly just throw it in mid-sentence where they see a gap. Because that's what I was trying to do too. I was like, where did me and Donald like pause so I could just like throw it in there?
Yeah.
So I found like one little space, but again, I zoomed in and I just cropped it too. And I was like, damn. I was going to do that too. I was going to jump in the middle of a sentence. Would have been funny though to hear. But now what I'm going to do is I'm going to re-record before the ad, because it's an Anchor ad. I'm going to just say, hey, we're going to pause real quick to read this advertisement. And then I'm going to put it somewhere where we pause. So it sounds like it's a transition versus a straight break. Yeah. So
I was going to say, I think that it feels like that's going to be something you're going to have to like go on Pro Tools or something and like maybe slice it in and then drop it and then kind of, you know. Yeah, there's always ways to do it, bro. Like some of the podcasts I edit, they just literally do the conversation like throughout. And they tell me, like, just throw the ad in wherever you feel would be a good place to add, throw it in. And usually what I do is I just look for, like, the answer to finish from the guest.
Yeah.
And all I'll do is I'll fade up the music. Like, I'll make my music fade up, you know, to kind of, like, cue that they're about to go to a break. But he doesn't say it. It just goes to the advertisement read. And then as it ends, he's starting the next question. He's all like, so you were told me that, and then that's how I do it, just so it sounds clean. But like, even then, like, it is a little bit of work having to look for a spot, like, because even when it comes to the next question, like, I want to make sure it's like a clean question, not like a follow up, you know, where it sounds like, you know, like it was part of the other topic that they just recently talked about.
Yeah, that's what was the hardest part, is like, where could I cut to make it sound like it continues off right versus it just pausing and it just sounding like I just chopped just a chop. So that's hard, man. That's cool though. That's actually a smart idea to do it that way.
Yeah. Especially like, you know, cause they already have like the ad read ready. I just got to put the music and whatnot. So I just choose it. But it is easier though when they tell me like you can put the ad read here, and then it's just like, oh, I don't have to think about it. Cause then I have to like really listen to the show, you know, I just kind of like can just focus on editing and getting it together and making sure it sounds right.
Yeah, that's true. Save the time. That's fun, man.
Yeah.
That's really dope. So how you feel about those Grammys, bro? I didn't even want to look at it because I saw like a big, like everyone was kind of talking shit about the first few lists. And I was like, damn, bro, Grammys making shit up again, just throwing random people in there I never even heard of.
I know, dude. I feel like what's crazy is about the best rap album is I listened to all of them minus, and I feel bad about the Royce the 5'9 one, but I didn't listen to that one yet. It was on my list.
Yeah.
But I just never got around to listening to it. But people were talking about it, like, yo, Royce did a good job on this album, you know? And I was like, oh, okay. But then when it got the Grammy nomination, I'm like, okay, I definitely have to like now listen to the whole thing. So I finally listened to the whole thing. I thought it was a great album. Obviously he's coming from a perspective of like a grown black man who is a father and wants to make sure like young black men, you know, grow up knowing like their history, knowing like that they're empowered, that they can do things, that they're not limited by their circumstances, or they're not limited by the neighborhoods they live in or anything like that. So I thought that was really cool. It was a very empowering album. And then the other album that I didn't listen to was D-Smoke's Black Habits. And
I didn't get to listen to that.
It was really good, dude. It's D-Smoke. I didn't know who he was. I read his bio while I was listening to it, like midway through. After the Snoop Dogg song, which I think was a really impressive song, probably I would say Snoop's best feature of 2020. I thought that his album to me was really good. So like D-Smoke's from Inglewood, and I guess he's the brother or cousin of Sir from TDE.
Yep.
I think that's his brother. So when you listen to the album, it sounds like that whole like new West Coast Kendrick, J-Rock, TDE, like adjacent kind of sound. Like sound, you know what I mean? Like that new West Coast sound that, you know, Kendrick kind of made popular. So it was like that. It was really cool. It was kind of refreshing, you know, like production wise, it just reminded me of like the Kendrick stuff. It reminded me of the Nipsey stuff. And it reminded me of all that, like just like the new West Coast that's coming up. So I thought it was cool. Like he has like one song that's in Spanish and like two other songs, three songs where he does like a verse in Spanish. Cause apparently the dude graduated with a degree in Spanish from UCLA.
Yeah.
And he teaches it or he taught it, I would say, at Inglewood High School.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I remember I saw him on the Netflix special and
that's what I heard.
Yeah. Like so when I heard this one before he blew up, like before he got the deal and everything, like I heard his flow and I was like, yeah, this dude's about to go big. Like if this didn't help him just blow up, like underground wise, like if he doesn't make it through the show, like it's going to help him like just in the streets, get his name out. And then when him and Snoop, I don't know if you saw the episode when they kind of had that, this little gangbanger moment.
Oh no.
Where they like Snoop's like, hey, where you from? And he was like he kind of knew how he needed to answer.
Yeah.
So he kind of just told him and then Snoop was like, all right, like I see how it is. Like,
yeah.
And he just told him like, yeah, man, like, you know, so I'm from, you know, Inglewood. But when I was like, bro, that's crazy. Got banged on by Snoop, bro. Like, shit. Like, how do you like stand up to that? And then when I saw he won and he was going about his music. So to see him on that list, man, that's huge, bro. I respect that big time. Cause
yeah,
I remember he was talking, like giving his backstory and he did a few lines in Spanish on the show where he was finishing the song. And I was like, damn, like his Spanish is pretty like solid. And I was like, man, like we need that collab again, you know?
Yeah.
That black and brown love. So I was like, bro, that felt good to see that. And to see him now on that list, bro, those are big names he's sitting next to. So
yeah,
he got, we got the biggest name on there. You got Nas. So that's crazy, bro, to even just be next to him. But then you got 5'9" too. Like those are really big lyricists. And then J Electron, you know, right there, bro. Those are three big names, bro, to just have to be categorized with. So I think, I mean, his goal is definitely reached, and that's awesome that he's nominated for that.
Yeah, no, man. I was surprised. I was surprised by that album. I kind of felt bad that I didn't know it about it sooner. I think it came out like in February. So I definitely was like not aware at all. But I heard a lot that a lot of his fame came from the Netflix show, which again, I didn't know was out there, but it was cool. I liked it. I liked that. I just sat back and I just listened to it and I thought it was a great album. Not sure how strong it'll be compared to the other guys that are on that list, but you know, I think for the most part, getting the mention is good. I saw that a lot of people were bothered because like Lil Baby, you know, a lot of people felt Lil Baby deserved to be nominated.
I feel like those are good, but just because of the list on this, man, it's hard to put anyone else on there.
Yeah. And I think we do this every year this always happens is that you put the nominees are out and then everyone, like there's always someone that complains about like, oh, like this isn't right or the Grammy messed up or the Grammy's overlooking. Yeah. I feel like it always happens though. Like it's just unfortunate. That's just how it works. I don't know what the rules are for the Grammys or what you need to do to be considered, but I'm sure if I was in their shoes, I'd be bothered too. But you know, that's just kind of how it is. You know, I mean, Bieber was complaining about not being featured for R&B, that his album was an R&B album, not a pop album.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of like, well, dude, at least be thankful that you were nominated. You know what I mean? Like, other people are complaining that they weren't even nominated and they deserve to be like Lil Baby, you know? So I don't know. I haven't even heard Lil Baby's album.
I haven't heard that one either. No, but I feel like what you said earlier, though, is what we're talking about. I think that favoritism still goes into, you know, how we're going to get people to talk about this list, how we're going to get people to click in and look at it. You got to put names that people know already.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can't deny that Nas's album wasn't or shouldn't be on that list.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing was amazing, but I mean, you're going to put him too as a, you know, I would say as if you're one of the Grammy, you know, organizers, going to be like, you know, we got to put this on there because that's one of the top old school artists that just dropped something new. And
yeah, man,
I mean, it was buzzing when it dropped. It was buzzing. It had the streets talking. So it was dope to see. And I didn't even think Royce would make it, bro. He's been underground for so long. That's amazing to even see his name on that list. And congrats.
Yeah, right.
That's so dope.
That was the biggest takeaway I saw, that a lot of people are like, yo, like they're actually recognizing like rap music, like rap, not like, you know, trap or mumble or none of that, like straight lyricism. But yeah, it was cool to see Royce. It was cool to see Nas. Definitely, those are two guys that I feel like a lot of people say the same thing, which is like they're due for some sort of award that's an legit award, like a Grammy. And man, hopefully they get, maybe one of them gets it. A lot of people are saying maybe Nas will get it. I know his album was like short too. I think it was like 35 minutes or something. I remember it came out and I listened to it like two times straight because that's how short it was. Whereas like Royce's album was like an hour long. So I only listened to it like that one time that I did it just to catch up on it. But yeah, J Electronica's was pretty good too. I mean, again, like me coming from like growing up as a Christian and knowing a lot of that stuff in a spiritual sense, like I don't have a problem with, you know, what J Electronica does as far as like making rap music spiritual. I thought that was great. I liked his album a lot. So I thought that his album to me was great. But I feel like out of that whole list, J Electronica's is like the one where you're either you like the album or you hate it. Like you just hate the fact that this is like something he put out. You know what I mean? And you can't really say that about the other guys. The other guys, it feels like, you know, like the Nas one, you could kind of say like, let me listen to it again. And then it warms up to you. And some of those albums grow on you. D-Smoke grows on you and all that. You know, even Freddie Gibbs, which you haven't mentioned, like that album has like replay value to me. Like I've listened to that album like maybe like 3-4 times already. You know what I mean? So
I was leaving them for the last because I really liked it too. I mean, versus I didn't hear the ones that for sure I didn't listen to, the J Electronica and then D Smokes. I didn't hear. I wanted to listen to D Smokes, but I just, like you said, I think that sound just kind of, I didn't want to vibe off of it yet. Off of like that Kendrick, you know, kind of TDE sound. I was trying to like wait to see what the vibes were after the like this whole, maybe next year, see like tap into it and see what's going on. Cause I like to let those albums sit, especially when they're new West Coast artists, to see what the West does with them.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't show them love, like I haven't heard, I thought there was a new album they nominated him for. So if it's still for that first album he dropped, then that means, yeah, man, that means his credibility and the credit he deserves still wasn't given to him as it should have been. So I got to listen to that now, really dissect that up a little bit.
Yeah, it's a good listen. I liked it. I enjoyed it. You know, J Electronica's, I think, I personally, again, I liked it. That's my like bias, is that like I liked the album when it came out, start to finish. I thought it was great.
Nice.
I know like the criticisms I heard of it were it's too spiritual because he talks a lot about like Allah and his Muslim faith, Islam. And then the other criticism was that Jay-Z's like almost on every single song, which is true. He has like a verse in almost every song. I think like maybe two songs where J Electronica is by himself, but Jay-Z's on the album like majority of the time. It almost feels like it's a duo album. But my thing with Jay-Z's features is that like when you're used to hearing Jay-Z do Jay-Z music, you know, the Hova thing and all that, like it's crazy to see like how he's able to do like that thing where he's like, he's telling you like, I know I'm rich and all that stuff, and then here's my perspective on life, like the 444 album, very like, I know I'm old, I know I'm rich, and I have like, you know, marital problems here and there, and you know, but I'm also like an entrepreneur and I know what it takes to win and I'm very successful. And it's like he's basically telling you stuff that he's into. In J Electronica's album though, it felt like he bent to Jay's like kind of like maybe request to say, can you be, you know, spiritual with me? And you could see like Jay-Z like really give into that. Like I was surprised to see Jay-Z not rap the way Jay-Z normally does, but rap in a very different manner that I think was complimentary to the album that was A Written Testimony. So I thought that was great. I thought that it was cool to see Jay-Z kind of flow differently, you know, in terms of like lyricism. Like he talked about a lot of spiritual things that were just, you know, they complemented J Electronica's like verses very well. So it almost felt like he knew like this is still J Electronica's album. I'm not going to come in here and try to outdo you or anything like that. Like I want to do this with you. So it was cool. Like it was really cool seeing that.
That's really dope, man. That's awesome for you to say, especially to review it like that, man. That I got to dissect it too, man. I'm going to have to go in on these.
Yeah, man.
I haven't because I've just been waiting, man. I've been stuck in a little vibe. So I'm like, you know, let me not go full in to listen to anything new till like this year kind of comes to a settle, which I think by this time I usually do tune into like everything that was put out.
Yeah.
And listening to like whatever I missed out on, because again, I like to catch up and then see what happens coming this next year to see like, all right, did they really develop? What's the growth on all these songs?
Yeah. Is there anything that has stuck out to you that you've listened to?
Man, I ain't gonna lie. I haven't, besides the 5'9" album that I tapped into, and Nas's album, those were the only ones I really went in on this year to be like 100%. Cause I thought I wanted to hear what 5'9" was gonna do from his last album, which was Book of Ryan.
Book of Ryan, yeah.
And I was like really interested on what he was gonna do next. So this one, yeah, like you said, he just went really like so personal and like motivational to the Black community. And I thought that was what a lot of people needed, especially coming from his genre and his, fuck man, his era.
Yeah. It's very like, reflective, man, of 2020 with the yeah. killings and everything. You know what I mean?
And I was like, man, that's something I feel he got no credit for when I first heard it. Cause it like gave me goosebumps listening to it. I was out for a run at the bowl and I stood the whole time to make sure I finished it. I replayed a few songs. That's how like deep they got. And I was like, man, like he's really like coming out of his norm to really like show his true how he feels right now. Like,
yeah,
you know, give that true art of rap what he's known to do, you know, like, and give back to that part of hip hop and rap that I love. So I was like, man, I gave him a lot of credit. And I didn't think he got any credibility for that because I only listened to it for the first month it was out, then I just started listening to other things.
Yeah.
And I thought, I was like, man, that's crazy that he didn't get the love that I felt he should have got on right off the back. But
yeah,
again, it works that way. I heard the Big Sean one was cool. I listened to that one too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got halfway through that one.
Yeah, I liked it a little, but Sean, to me, after a while, like the style of delivery just gets, I get too used to it, so I kind of bores me a bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's a bad thing that I dislike about it, because he has some dope stuff and good lyrics, and I think his delivery to me just kind of starts sounding the same on every track. So I just kind of get like, all right, next.
Yeah.
You know, next.
Yeah.
Kind of idea, but.
Yeah, sometimes that's the thing. Sometimes some rappers, it's one of those things where like, you could tell like they're not trying to do anything groundbreaking. They just want to put another album for the fans that they already have.
Yep.
The album that I recently listened to that I was blown away, and I know a lot of people were too, was the new Busta Rhymes.
Man, I haven't got to that one either. I heard the one with him and Kendrick on it, and I was like, bro, that thing's going to be amazing. And I just never tapped back into it.
Dude, it's, I'm not going to spoil it. That's a good one. Honestly, if he was nominated in this one, which I'm sure he'll probably be nominated on the next year's, because I think it might be the deadline thing. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to take it, dude. For it being a Busta Rhymes album and people probably thinking like, yo, this dude's kind of old. And I was talking to my other friend about this and he was telling me like, yo, like, let's see how this is going to sound. And I kind of said, well, you know, sometimes with a lot of these older cats like Nas and stuff, they're not really doing anything for like to gain new fans. They're just doing what they're doing for the fans they got. So maybe it'll be something like that, like just something for us that grew up listening to Busta Rhymes, you know, woo ha, and all that, you know, the Flip Mode Squad and everything. So, that's what I thought. Yeah, Flip Mode. That's what I thought. And no, it was like one of those like rappers are being put on notice that, you know, this dude can come in and still take the crown if you wanted to. But yeah, it was really great. The first song sets the tone. It's with Rakim. But dude, it sets the tone, bro. Like it's definitely a good album to go run to. That's for sure. There's definitely bangers. Sure. There's some nostalgia in it. Cuz he does a collab with Mariah Carey. So
yeah,
if you're a fan of I'll Give It to You, that song that he did with Mariah a long time ago.
He kind of comes back on that.
It's yeah, the way they produce it, man, it's pretty cool. I like the way they did that. And then
those are Those are hits, bro.
You know, so yeah, he brought it, dude. He really brought it. So I was really, it was cool to hear that album. It was a really good listen. So yeah, Busta Rhymes, man. ELE2.
Yeah, man, I'll have to run through that for sure, man. Yeah, 30 tracks, man. That's crazy.
It was good. I liked it.
Yeah, man. Definitely have to check that out. I did have it added, so.
Oh, you added it right now?
No, I said I had it added earlier when I heard the Kendrick one again, because I know I heard that one. I think it leaked.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember I heard it, and I was like, bro, that's just going to be dope. But then it came back, and I was like, oh, let me add that album, and I'll get to it. But again, I stick to certain songs for so long, and like certain albums, I just kind of keep pulling into. I'm like, all right, cool. Like,
yeah.
Logic's album, No Pressure.
Oh, that's right. That one. His last album.
Yeah. Like, I've been pulling and pulling, trying to see which one, like, if I really like it. And there's some songs in there that I really do vibe with harder than the rest. But again, it's because some of them still feel like that Incredible True Story sound, which I personally think is his best work. So I feel that a really good way to close out, you know, your career, his career. Retirement career.
He's a Twitch guy now.
Yeah, making money on Twitch. He sold out. No.
I know, right?
It's good though, man. I mean, I thought it was really good stuff. And yeah, I mean, still again, dissecting that one as much as I can to see like what level I'm going to put that at. Yeah. If it's going to be a classic or not. But it's getting there, man. It's getting there. Like, I just got to keep pulling it through to make sure, like, again, those lyrics got to get to me as I keep playing it.
You're going to do your top 5 of 2020?
Yeah, man. I'm going to have to do it manually because that was fun.
You have to listen to Busta Rhymes, though, before you start your list. That's all
yeah,
I'll say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll go through that.
Off all the albums that came out, that has to be the one you have to listen to. Like, I listened to Static Selector's new album, and I'd be like, yeah, you know. It's a good album. I liked it. I thought it was just... It's just Static Selector, though. Like, it's his production, and he just has a bunch of rappers on it, like Jadakiss and, like... I forgot what MOP's on it. A lot of New York stuff. Joey Badass is on it, you know.
I like Joey, man.
Joey Badass is so dope, man. I wish he did more music, you know. He
teased us, bro, with some singles. I've been waiting for an album, bro.
Yeah.
Like, dropped the damn album when I think it was the Light Pack he had. That one song, or I think he had two songs that came out with it. And I was like, bro, give me an album, please. I haven't heard an album from you in a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that those are definitely good artists, man, to throw on an album. So
yeah, I wish Spotify had a feature where you can just kind of add to your queue, but like it be on a separate list, because what happens is it adds it to your current. So when you stop, when the song ends, whatever your song you're on, it plays the queue right away. And I'm like, no, I just want to have it like in a watch list, like something that I'm going to eventually get to. Because if not, then I have to research for everything again. And if I research, I might forget what I was trying to look for, you know?
Oh, got it, yeah.
The other one I liked was the Run the Jewels 4, too. That was a good one.
Oh, okay, yeah. I heard a little bit of that one.
Yeah, they have a good song with Pharrell and Zach De La Rocha. And, It was a really cool story I heard on Rick Rubin's podcast, Broken Record. They had Run the Jewels as the guest, and LP was like, yeah, so we did this song, and Zach De La Rocha, I told him, like, yo, can you do a verse? He said, all right, cool. So we send him the beat, and he does his verse, and he sends it to us, and then we're like, all right, cool, we like the verse. Like, let us know when you can re-record it, because, you know, the verse sounded, like, distorted. Like, it sounded like he recorded it, like, on a cheap mic. And then he said, okay. And then he said that Zach De La Rocha goes to like his studio or whatever. And he's all like, so what kind of mic should I get? And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, what kind of studio mic should I get? He's like, what, you don't have a studio mic? He's like, no. Like, what? And he's like, I've been, because he recorded that album, or he recorded his verse on a SM58, the Shure SM58, the handheld mic that you use for live. He recorded it on that. And,
that's funny.
He's like, oh, he's like, you don't have like a studio mic, like a condenser or something. And then he's like, no, like all the Rage Against the Machine stuff we did, I recorded it on this mic. He's like, what? And it was surprising that he recorded his stuff on $100 mic, you know?
Hey, man, I feel like you could get a lot done as long as you pull it off right
and makes it good. But, you know, that song's pretty impressive because his verse sounds distorted, but it sounds really cool because he sounds so aggressive in it. So, yeah, man, I thought that was a good... The whole album's pretty good. Run the Jewels is good. They got that whole, like, political... Like, they're angry all the time, but then they're, like, rap, you know? They do a good job of that. They really do a good job of making like very politically charged music that you can bump at the club, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that one out. I saw the Pharrell one and I was going to go through it, but again, it's just most of these, when I see the mixes, I'm like, all right, got to give them time, bro. They got to come back. So again, when people, so like you and a few other friends mentioned that one recently, so that's pretty funny. So I'm going to have to definitely check that out too. And that's what I like to see, who references it, because if it's a good reference, bro, it means it does good.
Yeah.
Sometimes I find them like on just like randoms and I'm like, let me see, should I listen to it? I'm like, nah, like I'll let it circle around. It'll get back to me if it's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's a crazy year, man. It's a lot of good music. Did you hear the new Juicy J?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I did see that he released it though.
Yeah, my brother tapped me in on it because of Logic's verse on it. And I was like, all right, let me check it out. It's cool. It's Juicy, man.
Yeah.
That's what you expect of Juicy J to come on it. But yeah, there's a track on there with J-Rock too, which is pretty dope.
Oh, dang. Yeah, I got to check it out. I saw that it came out.
So do you feel that, what's the name? Let me see. Where's the top list on these? Man, I forgot when I was looking at earlier because I was like, man, there's a list that was shocking to see the people on there. I was like, man, that's crazy.
What's crazy is that like even for the R&B stuff, I saw that they have like best R&B album and then best traditional R&B album. Like now they're splitting it between like the kind of like the R&B.
Ask you about that.
Like the Brian McKnight or like the, you know, type of R&B. And then I guess like the Weeknd type of R&B. I guess that's like now considered a different type of R&B music.
There's so many artists, I guess they got to kind of split that love, so.
I get it, though. There's still some R&B artists like Snow Allegra that are very just soulful types. Like, they just do soul R&B music. And then you got, like, your Weeknd, your, like, your Tory Lanez, your, you know, Bryson Tillers that are more, like, different type of R&B. Like, you could tell, like, they're making it with a different style. It doesn't have, like, that soul. It's more like obviously it's more like sexual, which is probably the biggest thing between both styles. Yeah. It's just like, you know, and it's a little bit more explicit, you know, like I think The Weeknd was the first R&B dude I heard that was just cussing up a storm on a song. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, you know, because I grew up like listening to like 112 and, you know, Boys to Men, you know, that era of R&B, Jagged Edge and all that, like the stuff that's on Verses now. Is what, you know, what I grew up on. And none of those songs had like that much explicit language because they just didn't do that. That just wasn't their style. So
no, that's true. Yeah. And I think, again, like you said, though, I mean, there's so much talent, though. You got to split it or else, you know, you're really going to have them after you.
Yeah.
A lot of people chasing you like, yo, what the hell? That's cool that.
Yeah, this isn't R&B.
Yeah. Oh, the best rap performance was dope that they put Pop Smoke on there. I thought that was nice.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, some people are saying he that they might give it to him, you know?
I mean, I was shocking to see, man, his stuff was pretty good. At first I didn't really like his stuff, but I had to break it down, like really listen to it over and over and over to really like, okay, I see what people see. And then I was like, all right, actually he's good. Like,
yeah.
And my cousin was showing me a lot, like, bro, you got to like tap in on it. And I'm like, let me see. And again, first it was like, a delivery kind of sounds the same. Like, I'm not that really impressed, but then it's just the lyrical part of it and the creativity that he did on it. The pictures that he was painting. I was like, all right, now I see what he's doing. I like it a lot. And it was pretty good.
He had a song with 50 on there, no?
Yeah. I thought that was weird because I feel like him and 50 have that same kind of tone.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Like, that delivery kind of sounds the same in a weird way.
Yeah. I saw that, like, he got, like, 50's blessing and stuff.
Yeah, that's dope.
But, yeah, it was really sad. It's kind of crazy that I didn't even know about the guy until he died. And then I was like, well, I guess I'll listen to his album because, you know, this was going to be his kind of, this was supposed to be, like, his debut or something, right? And then, like, and then he's no longer here. So that was like, man, that's tough.
Yeah, and that kind of how I felt, too, because I heard about him, but I wasn't listening to it at all. And then when he passed, I remember my cousin was like, bro, Pop Smoke. I was like, is this stuff even good? And I was like, I only heard a few of his stuff. He's like, bro, we got to tune in. I'm like, all right, let me check it out.
Yeah.
Again, it took a little bit to rub off, but it worked. I mean, it's really what made it happen. But yeah, I think for the best rap performance, it's going to be pretty cool. You got the Big Sean and Nipsey collab.
That's
pretty
right.
Hard to go against.
That's right. That's true.
And you got DaBaby with the bop.
Yeah.
I mean, I like DaBaby, but I don't know. It's not my style of music, I guess.
Yeah.
So And yeah, Lil Baby, I don't know. I listened to like one song and I was like, all right, kind of over that kind of trend of music for me.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, all right, I think we should go back to, you know, how we were a few years ago where we had some real hip hop. I think it's that time to turn around.
Yeah, right. I think even with the new sound, which obviously is, you know, Atlanta is like the hot spot now. Atlanta is what New York was for hip hop now. When you listen to so much of it, after a while, you can kind of dissect who's good and who's not in it. And sometimes some of these guys are just not it. And the industry pushes it on you like, yeah, this is the next guy. You should listen to him. And I'm like, nah, I kind of don't like it. Like, I like the guy that you guys had already, that was already established in that space. So,
and I was gonna say it did that. I forgot what year it was when I was barely coming. Like I was a young teen or mid teens, I think. And I remember, yeah, like the South had all the, you know, that's where the music was coming from, you know. And then it was the other stuff. Then the West Coast kind of came back a little bit. Then there's a big West Coast jump that happened when Kendrick and all them came around, and, you know, kind of went that way with Nipsey, Game, YG, Kendrick, the OTD. The West kind of had it back. Then New York took it back for a little bit with ASAP and like everyone coming out that side at that time. And it kind of felt like it went back, like you said, to the South with like more Atlanta sound coming back into the mix, which is dope. So
it does
a full circle, but yeah, we're gonna see where it takes its turns now. I mean, I don't really count on the Grammys. I'm not a big fan of that. I don't really give any artist the credibility. If you win, congrats. But to me, it's just that show just to have it up there. Not really. Like, I mean, you got the song Savage on the top best rap performance. Like, come on, man. Like, trending song, but you know, that's not really a song I would put up on a top five, a top 10.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that's just, yeah, with the Grammys, it's just, you know, it's an award show. Obviously, you saw Kanye pee on his Grammy, so.
And Eminem went at it with that one, his interview with, was it with Sway?
Oh, did he? I know that he talked about, like, on his latest music that came out, like, post-Kamikaze and stuff, where he was talking about, like, I'll probably never win another Grammy or whatever, but I don't really care. Or he talked about, like, you know, I sold my soul to get the Grammy type of thing. I forgot what the line was. The song that he did with Joyner Lucas, where he said, you know, I sold my soul to get it or something like that.
Yeah, he talks about it with Sway in one of the one-on-one interviews. And he just says it like, bro, he like goes hard on it, bro. Like he fucking hates him. Like, man, he'll never go back. No invite, he'll never go back. And I'm like, man, that's a lot coming from one of the top artists in hip hop. So it's like, do the Grammys really care? Or do they just like, we don't care, we're still going to get people? Because, you know, it's an award, man. It's an accolade that I think as an artist, you still want it, even though you're going to, you know, at first kind of be like, well, these big guys are saying, you know, this and that about it. But like if 5'9" won, I mean, I'm just going to give him his credit, like congrats to my boy, you know, he's not going to be like, oh, fuck that Grammy.
Yeah, exactly.
So again, I mean, M being who M is, like, dude, that your guy came down from the gutters. Like, you know, he's been working hard to be on, again, to be on that list. That's big, man. That's not something easy to do, especially with all the young guys coming up right now that, you know, you would assume the Grammys are going to really give it to just these upcoming young kids, just with the trending songs versus actual like lyrical or real well composed songs, you know, that these guys are really worked on. So,
yeah, no, it's true, man. It's true. I definitely think that, like, I mean, yeah, it's definitely cool. I mean, at the end of the day, the Grammys know what they're doing. Like, it's just a conversation, really, more than anything. and that's what they like doing. They like creating conversation. And it's just crazy because in the hip hop world, it's always like a controversial thing about like the nominees and who was included, who wasn't, and who got snubbed, and, you know, people lashing out that, you know, they weren't chosen. Yet at the same time, we're just talking about how much we don't really care for them. But it's like, but yet here we are, like, you know, defending artists and stuff and talking about it. So. Yeah. I mean, like, at the end of the day, I guess it's content creation, right?
Yeah, like I said, it's an accolade. You want to win. You want to earn it. At the end of the day, I don't think, even if you hate it or feel it's not, like, if I was in a race for anything, I mean, to get any award is dope. So, like, and that's one of the big ones, like, man, even just to be mentioned on is dope. So, mean, if it happens, it happens. But again, I think a lot of these big artists, they know how the games play. They know they were used as puppets before, and you know, they didn't get anything out of it. So I think it hurts them a little more to be like, you know, I'm not going to fall for that anymore. And these young guys shouldn't either. But again, bro, they grew up at a different time. Everything's a little more connected, so it's easier to pass this information along now. But the guys that are coming up, they don't know that. They just know that was always the goal, is to watch the Grammys and see your favorite artist win. And that was your end game. Like, that's what I want one day. So
that's true.
Can't take that from them now. But end of the day, I mean, like you said, it's all for talking, definitely for that clout chase, which is good, man. I mean, and the young guys need it. I think they deserve to have more of that, because man, they work a lot hard to do just the little clout chasing that they do and make sure that they're trending for the week. So
yeah,
if it makes them happy, give it to them, man.
That's true, man. That's so true, dude. Especially because I'm sure the labels, you know, they're like, oh, well, we paid X amount to get this artist out there. We deserve some sort of accolade for it. So it might be more for the labels and the industry and anything, you know. So
yeah, man. How you feel about the 2.0? I like how you called it that, bro. The stay at home.
Yeah, 2.0. You saw that. You know, the news happened, what, over the weekend, where they were like, oh, we're doing stay at home again for the end of the month. I think December 20th is like the end where this is supposed to stop. But apparently, like, now we have to go back to, you know, ordering takeout only and, you know, staying at home, which I don't know how they're really enforcing it now, because I still see people doing their own thing. So
yeah, I'm not too sure how that works. I know Pasadena didn't involve itself in it today. They announced they will, starting midnight tonight. So they're going to put that curfew and all that stuff in a full effect starting tomorrow. So I heard they're handing out tickets if and you're not, you know, wearing your mask in public places. If you're in a big group, they're giving warnings. If you're not listening, of course, writing people up. I don't even know what that ticket would say or be about, because it's kind of like, man, at the end of the day, I know it affects everyone if you're not following these rules. But at the same time, man, I mean, everyone has the right to make their own decision. If they want to get sick, they want to get sick. You can't really control that on groups of people, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that, like, that I totally understand where Pasadena's coming from. I think, you know, because I work in Pasadena, like, I see that they still have, like, the tables out and people can still eat at restaurants, obviously, on the streets, which, you know, even I've done that, you know. Last place I went to in Pasadena, but I didn't eat on the street because they don't have it, is El Dorado Peruvian, which was really good. I got a free meal because they do these things on Instagram Live where they just go live. And they just say, hey, like, throw up some fire emojis and then you throw it up. Like, you won. And then I guess the dude said he claims that he's already given out like 100 meals. So it was really good, though. El Dorado, Peruvian food. It had a lomo saltado. It was really good, man. Yeah. I don't know if you ever had Peruvian food, but
nah, I'm going to try it now.
It's really good, bro. Like, I highly recommend it. Lomo saltado, which is basically their beef. And it's like cut up and they put it in a bed of fries. And then they put like that seasoning sauce over it, and it's really good.
And making me hungry.
And they make it with, and they slice up like the onions, and they like, you know, cook the onions so it's like sweet and stuff, and they're nice.
Nice.
And it's really good. And they have this sauce. It's a green sauce called an ají sauce, and you just pour it over. And I was like, oh shoot, this is good.
Damn, man.
But yeah, they have the lomo saltado, and then the pollo saltado. The pollo saltado is the same. It's just chicken instead of beef. Okay. But you can't go wrong with either of them. And the meat's really good. It's tender. It's juicy as heck. So, yeah, man, that was a good spot that I went to. Man. But, you know, other than that, like, obviously everything on Colorado, I've seen that they've, like, blocked out, you know, street parking to make room for, like, tables and stuff. And you're like, oh, okay.
Man, that thing is crazy. I mean, I find it funny because it's like, I mean, yeah, they're following the rules, but still, and again, like you said, I've eaten out too, so I can't, like, be too much of a hypocrite on it, but it still feels wrong when I see it. Like, some nights I'm like, bro, this is so packed. Like, the 6 feet don't make sense. Cause if I pass by and I sneeze out my window.
Yeah, exactly.
My car is close to you, bro. Like, yeah, you're going to catch something, man. So I find it weird.
Yeah. And that's my thing, is that, like, I don't mind going out if it's like low, like, attendance. But the thing is, like, once I see that it's packed, I just don't do it. I'd rather not. Yeah. I'd rather just, you know, go somewhere else. Or even when it goes to shopping too, like, you know, I've driven by Paseo, and it's like, if it's like empty, then yeah, maybe I'll stop at the H&M. Yeah. But if I see that there's like a group of people there, and I go, hell no, I'm not going to go. Same thing with grocery stores. So yeah.
Yeah. And I laughed at that too, because I was at the grocery store the other day, and I'm like, man, this defeats the purpose of what we're fighting for the restaurants, because everyone's in here. No one's following 6 feet protocol, even though they tell you to. Everyone's next to each other. Even the employees are right next to each other. Yeah, they're wearing the mask, and that's supposed to help. But I mean, again, it's one slip up, man. A lot of people I see wear the mask below the nose and still caring, not caring about like really following it to 100%. So I always like trip out on that.
Yeah.
But, like my cousin, he works at a Main Chick right there on Union.
Oh, okay.
And we went the other day to go get some food, and like a group of guys went in, mask on. And as soon as they walked out, they just took their mask off and were just standing around, full mask off, just talking to each other, people passing by. And I was just like, dude, that's a group of six guys, just no mask, just talking. We don't, like, in my eyes, I'm just like, bro, that defeats the whole purpose of what, like, having the mask on is for. So again, people are following the rules, but breaking them at any given point. So it's kind of hard to say, like, without shutting it down the way they want to do it, if it'll, I hope, I mean, it made a big difference last time. So hopefully everyone follows now, so it could, bro, I just want to get over the idea we can't be like able to go out or do anything.
Yeah, that's the thing too, is that they don't make it clear as to what's allowed and what isn't, right? Because like you can be out in the open air, like on a sidewalk, for example, and you don't know whether you should have your mask on or not if you're the only person on that, in that block.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which happens. And then at the same time, they don't tell you like what's, you know what I mean? Obviously, your mind will automatically assume like if I go in a store or in a building, I'm going to put on my mask. Yep. Because the thing that they've taught us so far, which is the only thing we kind of know, is that when you're indoors, most likely you can spread the virus. But when you're outdoors, you don't. So that's why they do all this outdoor dining, you know? Like, no restaurant really wants to put out a bunch of tables on the sidewalk, but yet, like, this is what you've pushed them to do so that they conduct a business. So somehow, like, you know, on top of that, we don't know what the other rules are, and no one makes anything clear. And then people just kind of make up their own mind of, like, yeah, I feel good about not wearing it or whatever, or taking it off. And it just feels weird because now you're making people feel awkward.
I trip out on that all the time because I'm like, man, we go out places and I'm like, dude, so can we take it off? We sat down. Can we? No. Yes. Like, I don't want to get yelled at by someone like that.
Like, yeah.
But I mean, so far, we've only eaten at like two restaurants, and it feels weird because, again, you take the mask off and you're not that far from everyone. 6 feet seems like a good distance, but it's not, man. Like, still seems pretty close. And I'm like, it kind of does. I mean, if someone sneezes and touches something and someone doesn't clean it right, again, it still goes into the whole gist of it going back down south. So, again, I agree with the stay at home 2.0. Everyone's kind of over this whole thing already. So I don't think it's going to work the same way it did the first time.
Yeah. So, and I heard that, like, Newsom was saying that if they run out of ICU beds, like, they're going to have to actually do, like, the whole March thing all over again, which is literally, like, just shutting everything down and everyone, like, not having to go home or not having to go to work again for those that were able to go back to work. Because there's still people who are working from home, and this is just what they're going to do, is work from home until whenever they feel good to go back to the office. But, you know, there's a lot of people that were let go, or, you know, were told to stay at home, and then got their job back when they were allowed, when the business was allowed to be open again.
Yeah. No, I think, the work from home order is going to be in effect all of next year. If this doesn't get better by the end of the year, I think all 2021 is going to be stay at home kind of idea. So it sucks to say to get used to it.
The only hope right now is just the fact that there's news about vaccines being, you know, tested and stuff. But then again, there's no definite date as to when all this will be like out there. And then if people are going to actually take it or not, we don't know. Like, there's people who are
50-50.
Like, some people just like the idea of there being a vaccine out there.
Yeah, I was going to say 50-50. I got a lot of people like, I'll do it. Fuck it. Like, I don't care. It's like a flu shot. And then I got a lot of people like, I ain't letting the government stick me like no rat, test me. And I'm like, all right, well, I mean, at the end of the day, they do that with our food and we're okay with it.
Yeah.
We don't know what's in the food. McDonald's finally has 100% beef. God knows what they were serving us before that, because they didn't say 100% beef before.
I know, so, man.
Again, like the idea of it being tested or ran on finally, like around these times, it's just, we got to just see the outcome and see what happens. Because
yeah,
if it's going to be a weird ending of the year, bro. I'm so nervous about it.
Yeah, I wonder how it's going to be, right? Because this Thanksgiving was pretty weird, right? Like, it's like...
awkward.
You're looking forward to it, but then you're being told that you can't meet with people.
Yep.
And so you don't. And then it's just like... and then the holiday happens, but it doesn't happen as, like, joyful as you normally would happen. Because everyone's, like, cautious about stuff right now.
Yeah, and that's the scary part about it. So, like, to kind of give an example on that, like, we had... so, it's just my cousins who are twins and from my aunt's side, and then me and my brothers, so three of us. Then my mom, my aunt, and then my grandparents all came together, which we usually all come together anyways. But we all hung out, had dinner, and then as soon as everyone left, my little cousin was playing around. He's not little like that, but, I mean, he's my younger cousin, so... but we're playing around, playing beer pong. And then he's looking at his phone. He's like, oh, damn, I think my friend just, he got the COVID. And I'm like, when did you see him last? And he was like, last week. And I'm like, bro, like, you just sat here and ate with all of us, hugged all of us. And then again, my grandparents were here, which is the bigger concern. So I'm like, bro, like, you're around grandma, like, you got to be careful with that. And this goes again to show you, like, though we're following rules, we're still breaking them. Even though we think we're still wearing the mask and doing things on occasion, like me and my friend at work, we always buy each other like drinks or something. Give or take, company policy is not supposed to be handing each other things, but we do it anyways.
Yeah.
And they haven't said anything about it. But again, this dude sneezes or grabs his nose or does something and hands me a drink. I grab it and I end up sick. Like,
yeah,
I could get my job in trouble for that. So again, a lot of these companies aren't thinking of the small things in that long run thing. So again, the stay at home order, I feel, is 100% needs to happen. Dude, just give us the whole month of December, just lock everything down. So by January, we could be over this and we can move forward.
It'd be nice, man.
I'm trying to go to a Dodger game. I'm trying to celebrate with them.
I know, dude. We freaking won the World Series, bro. And we can't have a parade right now. We don't know. And then
it kills me.
Freaking, it's just insane, dude. Yeah, man. Yeah. We won that. The Lakers won a title, and freaking NBA starting up next month, or this month, I should say, December.
Oh, like a few weeks.
Yeah, like in two, three weeks. And it's like, dude, we were supposed to have a parade and everything, and now we're not. So,
yeah, just skipped it, man. It sucks. So, yeah, like I said, man, I hope it. I'm not like against not staying at home. Like, I do want to go out and do things, but, bro, just so we could get it over with and get to that level, I'm willing to sacrifice the whole month just so we could just fix it and get it out the way, man. Because if not, we're going to be like this for all of next year as well.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. That's true.
Appreciate everybody listening, man. Thanks, Don, for having me on again, man. I love conversating and going over these topics with you. I mean, for the next one, you know, we'll get a little more. Hopefully not keep it as long.
Yeah.
Hopefully everyone stays on here. And, man, appreciate everyone that's tuning in. And again, man, let's stay indoors. Let's end this year right, man. Shout out to everybody and appreciate you guys.
For sure. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening. And we'll catch you guys next time whenever you hear it on your feed. If you're subscribed to us, if you're not, then you should subscribe to us because it should be a good one.
Hit that button.